Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship here at College Park. So excited to be a part of worship this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is here today. And the way that we do that, it's very simple. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to take that pew pad. If you don't know where it is, you may be sitting on it. Or somebody down the pew may have it. We invite you to take that, write your name down. Give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. And once it reaches the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask that first person when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for your help. We are in the middle of the summer, so lots of things happening. I want to draw your attention to a couple of those things. We are having children's time today. We invite the children to come down after the first hymn and meet with me for just a few moments. Also, tomorrow there is no Monday morning Bible study, so just make note of that adjustment in the schedule. It was originally scheduled, but they're going to not have it tomorrow morning. With the summer, we have lots of special things happening, including our preschool day camp. That will continue this Thursday from 9 until 12. All are welcome, babies through kindergartners. So we invite you to come and be a part of that. Today is the final deadline for our youth camp sign up and for our youth going whitewater rafting. So make note of that. Also, this Wednesday, we continue our series, our picnic at the park. Our staff has been taking a look at their favorite psalms. Avery Patterson, our youth intern, she will be doing that this Wednesday. So we encourage you to come out at 6 o'clock, bring your own supper. At 6:30, we'll start with prayer time, and then Avery will continue the series about her favorite psalm. And then at 7:30, from 7:30 until 8, we're inviting everyone who's interested in what's happening in our youth ministry on Wednesdays in the fall. We've had some adjustments over the last couple years, and we want to talk about those. We're needing lots of people to help us meet the needs of Wednesdays. And last week, we had a full house. There was a ton of people that were there. It was a great turnout, a great conversation. We provide freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. I know you came for the cookies. Thanks, Robert. I know you came for the cookies, but you stay for the conversation. But we want you to come 7:30 until 8, and we talk about what's happening in Wednesday nights and how the church can help us with that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin under opportunities for the week and upcoming events. And so we're excited about all the ways that God is using College Park this summer. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you gave us on the pew pad a moment ago, and we'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to come back down the aisle now. They want to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. We are blessed to live in a country that we were able to celebrate its birthday yesterday through fireworks and lots of food, through family and friends. But ultimately, it was God's providence and God's blessings that allowed us to enjoy yesterday, the sacrifice of so many who have fought for those freedoms. But ultimately, it goes back to the cross. The freedom that we get from our sin and the consequences of really is about us being dependent on Christ. So as we celebrate the country we can come and worship in freedom, let us remember, we are dependent on God for all that we have. God, thank you for the blessings of your presence. For where you are, sin and hatred flee. For where Jesus took our punishment, we are set free. Thank you for the gift of living in this place. May we never take it for granted. But even more so, may we never stop fighting for the truth of Jesus. May we never stop fighting for you, because you didn't stop fighting for us. We want you to be in this place. May everything in this service be done to glorify your name and your name alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
We stand to bless your holy name, we lift.
invite all the kids to come on down.
Wet.
Okay, can everybody kind of, well, you're good right there. Come on down. You've gotten big since the last time I saw you. All right. Now, there is a very special holiday where we like to eat food and these things, we like to get together, and it's kind of hot sometimes, but at night we go out and there are these things that go up in the sky. Fireworks. Well, what's that holiday? Anybody know? 4th of July. And what, those fireworks, did anybody see fireworks yesterday? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Now, well, I have a fake firework, all right? Not a real one. This is kind of what, isn't this is, I know it looks real, but it's not, okay? This is kind of what a firework looks like. And they come in different sizes. Do y'all know, what does a firework sound like? Y'all say, what else is it? Does it make any other kind of noises? They may go real high in the sky, right? Well, sometimes they're quiet. Right. Sometimes you see them, and then a few minutes later, you hear the noise, right? Well, that's right. Boom. Well, firework kind of looks like this. And there's this long string. It's called a fuse. And what happens is the person who's in charge of the fireworks, they light this with a lighter, and then they run, okay? And what happens, this fuse, it burns up, till the little spark gets to the firework, and what happens? It shoots up in the sky and makes the fireworks. Now, that's right. Now, I have a question. Now, if we make the fireworks made really loud noises, right? Sometimes it's scary. Do you and I ever make loud noises? When do we make loud noises? When we're mad? Ugh. Have y'all ever made loud noises? I know better. Y'all, don't be shaking your head. No, we make loud noises all the time. Sometimes somebody sets us off and makes us upset, and we scream or we cry or we're angry. Now, do you think God can get upset with us, or do you think he's pretty patient with us and he doesn't? If God had a fuse, how long do you think his fuse would be? Do you think it would be, y'all stay right there. If we started right here, do you think his fuse would be this long? Would it be this long? Would it be this long? Until Revelation. Raymond, your job is done. All right. We're gonna take up an offering and we're going home. The Bible tells us, everybody listening? This is really important. The Bible tells us that God is very patient and loving and forgiving. And he wants you and me to be very patient with other people, with our mommies and our daddies, to not get angry, and to not get upset and cry. And we need to be just like God. Sometimes we don't get the toy we want, or we have to go to bed and we don't want to. We are to remember how patient God is and not blow up like a firework. Because fireworks are just pretty for the sky, but they're not so pretty at home. Can you remember to be patient? Can you help be patient with your mommies and your daddies? Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you are patient with us. You love us so very much, and you want us to love our mommies and our daddies and all of our family, all of our friends, even the people that frustrate us or don't give us what we want. We need to remember how patient and loving you are so that we can do the same. We love you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. You go back to your seats now.
out of the mouths of children. This morning, Krista is not able to be with us today. She's spending a little family time, so we're thankful she has a chance to get a little bit of a break. So I'll be reading our scripture reading for this morning, and I want to set the context of it just a little bit. This is one of our Old Testament lectionary readings, and it comes from Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a fascinating book if you've never read it. It's a lot of imagery, and I challenge you to go back and read it because it's very, very, very informative. Ezekiel chapter 1 starts a description, and I'll just leave it at that, kind of entice you a little bit to go back and read it. Very spectacular description. And the chapter concludes, it says, "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down and heard the voice of one speaking." Now, what was the one speaking saying? That's what our lectionary passage is today. It's from Ezekiel chapter 2. And it says this, "He said to me, 'Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you.' As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." They will know that a prophet has been among them. I wonder, as we speak to people, do they know that we're different? Do they know that we are Spirit-filled? It's challenging. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray that as your Spirit fills us, and as we go to a rebellious, stubborn, obstinate world, that, Father, truly we would go with grace and peace, with a long fuse, as Jeff has already alluded to. Father, we pray that we would go being patient with people because you've been so patient with us, that we would be forgiving of people because you've been so forgiving of us. Father, help us to know when to speak and when to be quiet and listen. Father, help us to know when to give a word of testimony and when to offer a word of encouragement. Father, and as we seek to find that balance, you will use us in a way that will give glory to you. Father, we know that there are many hurts. We can see it on the news. We can see it on our prayer list. We can see it all around us in the workplace. There are a lot of people that are hurting. There are a lot of people that have questions. Questions about the nature of who you are and what you desire for them, and why you're not meeting their particular need at that moment. Father, as we minister to people, help us to have that divine wisdom that can touch them and bless them even in the midst of their pain. Father, we know that there's been families that have lost loved ones this week. We know that there are diagnoses that have been very troubling this week. We know that there is tension and strife all around the world with the economic situation. Father, we pray in all of that we wouldn't lose sight of who we are in your kingdom, and that we'd praise you for who you are, because, Father, your kingdom is so much more glorious than anything we can imagine here. And we pray that you would use us as a part of advancing your kingdom so that you will receive the honor and the glory that you deserve. Father, we pray as we go from this place later on today, that you would allow us the mercy of having a chance to speak a kind word or to offer a word of testimony as to why we place our faith and trust in you. And when that time comes, we pray that we would respond in a way that would be from a thankful heart, not a prideful or arrogant spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.
Pray with me. God, I want to just thank you so much for letting us have the honor to live in this country where the forefathers had the foresight to let us have the freedom to come to this place, to worship you, to sing your praise, and to tell others about you and be free from persecution, Lord. Give us the strength and the wisdom to go out and to spread your word with others. And to not be shameful, not be scared, and to not be worried about what we might say or do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
couple of interesting discussions this week as I've met with groups to study. One group Monday, we discussed how overwhelming the task of confronting evil seems to us, what we're called to do as Christians in response to the evil in the world around us. Later that night with book club, we discussed the work of missionaries and the difficulties of following God's call against somehow overwhelming odds. We talked about the unglamorous side of God's call and how sometimes as Christians we almost would rather have the romanticized version of serving God. So these were kind of in my head when I read today's scripture passages, and particularly the calling of Ezekiel to a difficult people, and then of Jesus sending out the 12 to those who might not receive them. And as I was pondering hymns for today, I ran across the hymn, So Send I You. And when I read the story behind it, I felt kind of compelled to share it with you. Margaret Clarkson grew up in Toronto in the early 20th century. When she graduated as a teacher in 1935, she began her career teaching in the far north of Ontario. Teaching in a lumber camp and then a gold mining area, Margaret's quoted as saying, "In the north, I experienced deep loneliness of every kind, mental, cultural, and particularly spiritual. I found no Bible teaching church fellowship and only one or two isolated Christians in those years there. Studying the word one night and thinking of the loneliness of my situation, I came to John 20 and the words, So send I you. Because of a physical disability, I could never go to the mission field. But God seemed to tell me that night that this was my mission field and that this is where he had sent me. I had written verse all my life, so it was natural for me to express my thoughts in a poem. These words, full of emotion, are just a couple of the stanzas of her poem. She writes, So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Not the rousing call to missions that's usually given, but quite honest in its emotion. However, years later, Margaret, looking back, realized that the poem was kind of one-sided. It only told of the sorrows and deprivations of the missionary call and none of its triumphs. She wrote another song with the verses that could be used interchangeably with the first, and this one speaks of the glory and hope of the missionary calling. And this is the one that you'll find in most hymnals today. And that's a choice that Margaret did not mind because she determined that the second was the much more biblical telling. And that's the version we're going to sing today. If you'll stand, we're going to sing hymn 565, So Send I You.
Thank you.
So what did you do for 4th of July? How many of you ate a hot dog? How many of you ate 62 hot dogs? Yeah, I watched this foolishness on TV yesterday. They call it the Nathan's Great Hot Dog Eat-Off or whatever it is. And the winner, a young man named Matt Stoney, dethroned the king, Joey Chestnut. Matt ate 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Let that sink in for just a minute. 62 hot dogs. Joey only had 60. Yeah. And I thought to myself, only in America can we celebrate declaring independence by having an eating contest. I mean, it was very strange. Very strange. I text my sister, who is over in England. I text her earlier today. I said, happy 4th of July. My suspicion is that it's not near the cause for celebration there that it is here. And she concurred. She agreed with that. There was a lot that went on in the course of the day. My son Carson, for business, has been transferred to Worcester, Massachusetts. And so he and his boss for the day went to Boston. I said, what cooler place to be for a 4th of July celebration than Boston? And Boston, the city and the harbor and the fireworks and everything last night. So a great deal of festivity about our nation and our independence. This all ties back toward the end of the sermon. You know, this whole notion of this kingdom here, this country that we place so much faith in, it gets interesting at times. Jesus had a lot to say about our allegiance and who we should place our faith in. And our lectionary text is a passage from the Gospel of Mark, the first 13 verses. And this is actually expressed in Luke chapter 4 as well as Matthew chapter 13. Luke chapter 4 gives quite a few more details about it, but our text for the lectionary is Mark chapter 6. So let me read that to you right quick. It says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Like I said, Luke chapter 4 gives you more detail on what that means exactly. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. And then Jesus went about teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And they went out, and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. In this reading, we have a not too unusual occurrence. That is, Jesus has preached at his hometown synagogue, no less, and the congregation rejected what he had to say. Now, if you know anything about the story of Jesus, you know that rejection tended to come with the territory. So my question is, what makes us think we're going to be different? What makes us think we're going to fare any better? You see, certainly we can understand perfect strangers reacting negatively to the teaching of Jesus. It says they called him out and they were to preach a message of repentance. So we can understand people reacting negatively to Jesus. If you've ever tried to share your faith, if you've ever tried to share your testimony to a complete stranger, you are aware of what I'm talking about. Because there is a high probability that at least initially, you may sense some rejection on that part. But these were Jesus's family and friends, supposedly. Evidently, not even Jesus could carry a hometown or a home field advantage when it came to getting a good hearing or an enthusiastic following. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then right after this, he sends out his followers. But before he sent them out two by two to do his work, he warns them. He says, the going may get rough. That's modern translation. Obviously, Jesus was speaking not only from his own divine wisdom, he's speaking from what just happened. He said, it could get rough out there, so be aware. He says, don't be surprised when people reject you because of me. You can read into that and say, you know, if I can't pull it off with my own hometown, then you need to be aware that it can be dangerous out there. Be ready for rejection. He also said, be prepared to shake the dust off your feet and head off to another town if one town rejects you. So today's gospel reading is a vivid reminder that following Jesus is not always easy. Not then, not now, and with the increasing secularization of our nation, not in the future. It's not going to get any easier. And along the way, Jesus is forever correcting and surprising us with how very different is following him than we first imagined, perhaps. Maybe that's shaped and colored by life experiences. Maybe it's shaped and colored by life experiences as the Spirit teaches us. But Jesus impresses us with how against the grain his way can often be compared with our own selfish ways. Something about Jesus and his message really struck hard. Really struck hard against the accepted wisdom of the day, the, quote, common sense of the day, the universal values and the social mores of his day and of our day. It strikes in contrast. His way, the gospel way to life, is probably much narrower than we appreciate. And I think one just tremendous value of getting together on a weekly basis here to worship God, first of all, worshiping God puts everything into better perspective, doesn't it? You come in with all this sometimes baggage from the week, and worshiping God allows us to place all of that into perspective. And then as we read his word, as we hear the stories of how Jesus interacted with people, and we examine the text, I believe that it has a way of helping us discern God's way and to see the difference between his way and our way. Our preconceived notions versus his truth. What's the difference? Sometimes it's a world of difference. And coming together helps us to discern that. One of the purposes of church is to get together in order to help clarify what it means to live as a Christian. What it really means. The hymn introduction was tremendous. Because you think about someone in an environment where there are no churches, no Bible teaching churches. There are very few Christians to speak of, or at least that you can identify. What does it mean to clarify living in a world where sometimes the gospel message has become so diluted that it's meaningless? And how do we teach people what it truly means to live as Christ? We're bombarded every single day by thousands of messages. Many/most are probably contrary to the values of what we should be holding up as believers. So we get together at church and we try as best we can to keep things clear, to help us to understand what's truly important. What is it that Christ taught that is most important, and what message should we be delivering to the world? But it isn't easy sometimes, is it? The world gets complicated. It's getting tougher. For we're always in danger of confusing our ways and whatever we can rationalize with his way. But there are those moments when church becomes a place of clarity. Jesus experienced a lot of rejection because the way, as he described it, was narrow. It was not the world's way. He warned us that if we were going to be faithful to him, we should expect rejection as well. And indeed, if we gather together as church and there's never any disagreement, sometimes you have to wonder, don't you? Yeah, you really do. There should be a healthy discussion. You know, because as you read Scripture sometimes, you know, that it's inviting people to really dig and see what it means. What it means to us as believers and how we live it out. I guess I'm saying sometimes we need to test the spirits because not all spirits are the Holy Spirit. And we need to kind of hash it out together. We open the Scriptures and sometimes you say to the preacher, is there any word from the Lord? Well, yes, there is. And many times the word that we have from the Lord right here runs contrary to the words that we've been hearing all week long, which run counter to God's word. You've heard me say numerous times, if you've been here any length of time at all, you've heard me say that I will not preach about politics from this pulpit. And this passage clearly defines for me why I take that stand. I have very strong opinions about politics. I know that fascinates you. But we have very precious little time here as a body to worship together and to hear God's word compared to the total number of hours that we're bombarded by the message of the world. So I refuse to spend our time talking about points of politics or nationalism, which, depending on your political persuasion, you can probably support by proof texting passages of Scripture, okay? So we're not even going to get in that discussion. But there is no one in America more patriotic than me and my family, and my father was career military. My son is much more vocal about his politics than I am. If you've ever followed him on Facebook, I apologize for that. there's been occasions where I and a couple other monitors out there have texted him and said, son, you might want to delete that. Yeah, not back off, just delete it altogether. And so, yeah, we celebrate the 4th of July like everyone else. We're incredibly thankful that we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. So yesterday we celebrated our Declaration of Independence. The only problem is independence is not a biblical word. It's just not. Independence is what government promises us if we serve government. In today's gospel, Jesus gives his disciples instructions. And he tells them, here's what you do. And he expects them to follow those instructions. As Christians, our Sunday morning goal is not independence, as Jeff has already alluded to. Rather, it's dependence upon the will and the righteousness of God. Amen? Dependence upon him. And despite how great I believe this country is, and I do, and despite how God has shown his favor upon us, America is still just an earthly kingdom with all of our moral and spiritual failings. But the kingdom of God is what I prefer to spend my time and energy discussing. Because Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the and his righteousness. Man, that'll preach. And all these things will be added unto you. Now understand the context. This was spoken by Jesus in reference to the provision of our physical needs. But how much more does God care about our spiritual needs? So this verse, if I were going to text it to someone, I would make it in all caps. I would scream it out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God. The greatest service that Christians can render to our nation is to be who Christ called us to be. And in that way, we will be a visible reminder that God, not nations, rule the world. And that we have a loyalty that qualifies every other loyalty. Jesus Christ is Lord. And He will rule and reign, whether we like it or whether the world likes it. I know that's what's going to happen. I read the last book. I read the very end of it. I know what's going to happen, whether we acknowledge it or not. So yes, lest you think I'm preaching against something this morning, I'm not. I'm preaching for something. Be thankful for the country that we live in. Yes, celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy. But at the heart of who we are as believers, we must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Blessings, peace. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, in a world that seems to get more and more confusing, sometimes Your way gets lost in the shuffle. And so we confess right now that sometimes we seek our own way. We follow the way of the world. We follow a way that is not Your way. And Father, we confess that to You and ask Your forgiveness. Father, as we examine this passage of Scripture, this story, we're struck by Jesus' call to repentance and call to obedience. In our own heart, may we experience both of those before we ever take that message to anyone else. Help us as we offer the message of what Your way looks like, that we would do that out of a spirit of love and compassion, not out of a spirit of judgment. Father, as we offer to others the biblical truths that we know and that we stand upon, help us to do that with love and understanding. Not judging, but again, loving. Father, in all that we do and say, we pray that Your Spirit would guide us, lead us, correct us when we get off path. Father, and most of all, encourage us as we seek to be a bold witness in a world that generally doesn't seem to want to hear Your word. And as we do all of that, remind us to seek Your kingdom. Seek Your kingdom. Seek Your righteousness. And everything else will fall into place. We're thankful for that truth. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ that defines everything else that you do, my prayer is that you will take this time of invitation seriously, that you would take the call upon your life, the Holy Spirit leading you to Christ, that you would take that time seriously. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. If you don't want to come this morning, call me this afternoon. We'll set up a time this week to get together and talk. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but I'm having trouble finding my way and I want to get back on track with what God wants from my life, not necessarily what I want, but what God wants, you can certainly pray where you are. The altar will be open here. I'll be glad to speak with you if that's what you'd like. And if you're here and you say, I'd love to be a member of this church, I'll be glad to talk with you about the many ways we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you. following our benediction response, I encourage you to greet one another. I encourage one another as we go out into our mission field. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this time, a time where we can rest in you, that we can offer praise to you, and we can receive clarity from you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.